ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. The death toll continues to skyrocket on both sides, with Israel at war with Hamas. The Israeli Defense Forces says it's launching an extensive attack on the Gaza Strip, and Gaza is now completely without power, cut off by Israel. 22 Americans are confirmed dead. 17 are still reported missing. President Biden, at a roundtable with Jewish community leaders at the White House Wednesday afternoon, denouncing the cruelty of the Hamas militant attack inside Israel.
I really thought that I would see and have confirmed pictures of terrorists beheading children.
While the president seemed to suggest that the U.S. had independently confirmed the beheading of babies by Hamas, the White House says the president was referencing press reports and statements from Israeli officials. The U.N. calling for rapid humanitarian aid, adding 220,000 displaced Palestinians are sheltering at relief and refugee facilities. This is ABC News. New hope in the search for alternatives in organ donation. Harvard-affiliated scientists say they have been able to keep a monkey alive for 2 years with a genetically engineered pig kidney. While this is a major stepping stone, scientists say they are likely years away from using the technique in humans to ease the nationwide organ shortage. A surprise revelation from Jada Pinkett Smith. She and husband Will Smith have been separated for years. ABC's Jason Nathanson.
Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith stopped living as husband and wife in 2016. The actress reveals in her new memoir, Worthy. In excerpts of the book and in an interview with People magazine, she says they're still married, but that's a technicality. They live separately and have for years, which puts the 2022 Oscars slap in a new light.
Keep my wife's name!
She says they were at the Oscars together as a family, but not as husband and wife. And at first she was surprised that Will got so upset. But then she realized no matter their actual status, they were still in this together. Jason Nathanson, ABC News. Hollywood.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Jade Monkey, Dom and Crute, we're going to be there. Live broadcast, party all night.
That's right. The tour stops in Madison at the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road Tuesday, October 17th. It all starts with a live broadcast at 4.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How did they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good Wednesday morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. We are here with Greg Bach on the board. And Greg, we're going to have a very special guest joining us at 10:30 on the StreamYard link. So if you watch us live on the stream, either on Facebook or on Twitter or on, I guess, Instagram, TikTok, all those places, you're going to want to be watching because Kristen is going to be joining us at 10:30 and hopefully, if everything goes well, you will get a glimpse of little Frankie Lou.
Yay.
Yay. We were texting about this last night, and I said, are we going to, are you going to share Frankie Lou? And she said, well, as long as she's not having a meltdown. And I said, that never happens. And she sent me a picture. They had a little baby-sized cheese head on Francis. She wasn't having it.
Not a fan. I saw the picture.
Not a fan of the cheeseheads.
Not a fan.
Yeah, so she was pitching a little fit, so we'll see if Frankie Lou plays along. But I would encourage you to watch us on the stream anytime, but especially today from 10:30 to 11. When the new mom joins us, we're going to give her a little news quiz, see how well she's been checked in. Probably not very well.
It's just fine.
For the last couple of weeks. And then we're going to talk baby things. So that's coming up at 10:30. First, though, we're going to start out with something, obviously, that's at the top of the news. The war in Israel, the actions by Gaza right now, the death toll is over 2,200, including 14 Americans. President Biden did make a big speech on this yesterday that was covered by all the major networks. Among the things he said, in this moment, we must be crystal clear. The United States has Israel's back. We will make sure the Jewish and democratic state of Israel can defend itself today, tomorrow, as we always have. That was among the statements by President Biden yesterday. And as I was looking at different articles and reading different pieces about this, there is an article in The Atlantic, and we will have a link to this article in our show notes after the show is over. And it's written by a man called Amir Tibon, and he and his wife and two young daughters, who are both under 5, survived the attack on Saturday. They live in a border town right on the border with Gaza. And this just really stuck out at me. So I just want to share a brief portion of this article of what they went through and Amir's view of how we need to look at this. Here's what he said, part of what he said. We kept our part of the contract. We lived on the border. We went through difficult situations sometimes with mortars and the use of incendiary devices to set fires in the fields. If you live in a place like Nahal Oz, you wake up every morning and you know there are people on the other side of the border who want to kill you and your children. So the contract was, we protect the border and the state protects us. And this government, which is the worst government in the history of the state of Israel, led by a corrupt, dysfunctional, and egotistic man who sees only himself, Benjamin Netanyahu, has failed us. There were warning signs that this will happen. The military and the intelligence agencies warned Israel's neighbors were seeing the internal divide in the country over the government's disastrous plan to eliminate the powers of the judiciary. There were reports coming out as we speak that Egyptian intelligence warned Netanyahu days ago that Hamas was planning something massive on the border. The way that the events of the day unfolded is the worst failure in the history of the state of Israel. People like my father and other retired officers had to come down to save citizens. These are men in their 70s to try and save their own families and others. Meanwhile, the military is falling apart. All the civilian infrastructure that is supposed to support the military and society in such an event is also not functioning. Listen, right now we have to win this war. We have to destroy Hamas. We have to make it impossible for them to ever, ever again conduct anything that is even close to what happened on Saturday. No country in the world can allow something like this to happen to its citizens and just go back to business as usual. I feel very bad for the people of Gaza. I am heartbroken. But this was our 9/11. Again, that's from an article in The Atlanta from a man called Amir Tibon. He and his wife and two young daughters surviving the attack by Hamas on Saturday. And again, we will link the entire article in our show notes after the show wraps up. But it's heartbreaking and tragic in so many different ways. So many different ways. And Todd Alba, when he joined us on Monday, said that there are rules of war. Does anyone ever actually follow rules of war? Is there anything civilized about war? I don't know. I think calling it rules of war is a misnomer. I don't see that there are any rules. And all I know is that we will have to keep watch on this and see what develops. This is not over by any stretch of the imagination. And I think, unfortunately, that the humanitarian crises that are going to stem from this are going to be ongoing and long-term. So that's where we are with that. Switching gears a little bit, Greg Bach.
Yes.
We're going to go over to Congress.
It's like my favorite place.
And a couple of things that are going on in Congress. Well, today, the Republicans are meeting in a closed-door meeting to talk about who's going to be the next speaker, Jim Jordan or Steve Scalise.
Wait, I'm not on the list?
I don't think you're on the list.
Man, that's not cool.
I know. It's kind of shocking. But they apparently all had to put their cell phones in envelopes and leave them outside of the room so there would be no leaks.
Gosh.
Because they're also trustworthy.
Yeah, I was going to say they're not going to walk out that door and be like, well, guess what we talked about.
Right. But the other thing that broke that just stood out to me yesterday, Representative George Santos.
Oh, Skippy.
And we've talked about him several times. George Santos, elected Republican from New York, in all kinds of trouble already for alleged fraud and other naughty things. Greg.
He's the naughtiest congressman in D.C.
Is he the naughtiest? I don't know.
No, I doubt that.
He's just the most prominent one that we're talking about right now. So he is now facing 10 new federal charges, including allegations of stealing donors' identities and running up fraudulent credit card charges. He charged donors' credit cards without their authorization for personal gain, allegedly falsified records, created and submitted false campaign reports listing non-existent loans, and fabricated and stole campaign contributions. And he says, I'm not resigning today. He said that today.
Yeah, he didn't do it, Jane.
I'm pleading innocent to all the charges. I'm not stepping down. It's all good. Bring it on. And I haven't heard one Republican come out and say anything against him. Like, I don't know, maybe you should resign.
And they won't. They're not going to. That's not their way of doing it. They hide their heads in the sand and hope it goes away. Either he resigns and walks away, or people just forget.
I don't know that people are going to forget.
Well, no, I don't think so either. I mean, this is going to be, if he makes it to re-election, which, I mean, at this point.
Who's going to donate to his campaign? Here, George, here's my credit
card.
Here's
cash.
Oh, yeah, here's cash, because I don't want you to have my card.
I mean, it comes down to, I mean, this party, the GOP, is a reflection of their leader. Whether they like it or not, Donald Trump is their leader. It is this absolute inability to admit wrong, to admit fault, to admit, because it's weakness. And therefore, if any one of their, any other of the members of the party do that, they're, I mean, I think the only person who stood up to him was Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney isn't running again because he can't survive in this party, right, in this formation. So with Senator Menendez,
who is a Democrat,
he has been accused of naughty things as well.
Oh, like finding gold bars, yeah, and $430,000 in cash in his home that he said he just did that because, well, I don't know, he likes to bank at home. Okay.
I have my own branch. Yeah, it's under my bed.
It's the Menendez branch, yes, of the Menendez Bank.
There he is.
But there does seem to be different standards for Democrats and Republicans when it comes to being caught doing naughty things.
Yeah.
When this news about Menendez broke, it was almost instantaneous that there were calls for him to either, he's got to get off of some of these committees for one thing.
Yeah.
And also calls that he should resign. And granted, he said too, I'm innocent, I'm not pleading guilty, I'm not going to resign. But at least some members of his own party were like, this is bad.
Yeah,
and it's a bad reflection on the party.
The senator from his own state, Cory Booker, said he should resign. And now, here's the thing is, the Democrats have said this. Has Menendez resigned? No.
No.
And when Al Franken got in trouble, Democrats said you should resign. He resigned. I mean, I'm sure Al Franken is probably like, in today's climate, he could have weathered this storm.
Absolutely.
But the Republicans do nothing because they can't lose any ranks because they're going to lose that seat. If he backs out and they have to run a special election, the Democrats would probably end up winning that seat because the Democrats would take it seriously.
Right. I just find it interesting that there are completely different rules when it comes to accountability. If you want to check in on this, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And then I also want to remind folks about Donald Trump's good friend and advisor, Steve Bannon.
What did he do?
And what Steve Bannon did to Trump supporters and then got pardoned for it. Because again, that's all apparently just fine.
Well, you said the rules. I think we should rework that. It's not the rules. It's the expectations. We had expectations for a long time. Someone did something like this, they would step down. That's no longer, the expectations are no longer being met. Because they don't have to be, because there are no consequences unless you get to the final step, which is a trial.
And even then, in some instances, people were found guilty of crimes and they were pardoned by Trump on his way out the White House door.
Yep.
844-967-2789. You can call, you can text, you can leave a comment on the live stream. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
the most competitive sport for all to enjoy. And Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling. And the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 39. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 54. Overcast skies. Scattered rain showers likely. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 43. Cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday and Saturday with highs in the upper 40s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 46.
1FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today. Andrew of Detroit.
Hey, Matt, another day. I'm not going to agree with you, but you know, that's what it is. I'm starting to hear some scuttlebutt about what Egypt might have known and what Egypt might have told Benjamin Netanyahu about the, maybe he was trying to do a Bush Jr. and, oh, you know, I can get reelected if I have a war going on. You got to remember, this guy's got two indictments against him, and he's in there right now trying to reorganize the whole judicial system and everything else. You know, Matt, what Hamas did was horrible. What Hezbollah might do is going to be horrible. All those bombings you mentioned were horrible. But with our technology now, we can pinpoint this, that, and whatever else. And that kind of stuff needs to be done. Strategic targets, not just cluster bomb a whole, the whole Gaza Strip. Shut off all the food. Shut off all the water. Shut off all the... There's no fair here. What needs to happen is somebody needs to throw Benjamin Netanyahu over the wall into Gaza and see how he likes it. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
Well, as usual, Andrew, I agree with nothing that you said. However, I like it when you call. You have a sense of humor. And let's talk a little bit about history and what happened. Here's the deal. What Andrew is suggesting is that there was information given in advance to Benjamin Netanyahu about what was going to happen. And he deliberately ignored it. This is what Andrew's saying, so that there'd be a war that could get him reelected. And that picks up on what Andrew's other statement was, that George W. Bush, there was certainly CIA information that something was afoot early on. They didn't have an idea of exactly what. And it was basically not followed up on or ignored. And that somehow Bush did that to ensure that he'd be reelected, because at the time he was low in the polls, because it had just come out that he'd used cocaine until he was 34 years old and he was seen as a lightweight. Now, let's talk about the real history of this. It is true that there was the CIA picks up chatter, and in the case of 9/11, there was absolutely no specifics that were ignored. It was chatter, and in retrospect, they should have put out more warnings to airports. With the Benjamin Netanyahu thing, I saw an interview in the last day with a high-ranking Israeli who was asked directly, did you have information that this was coming and it was ignored? And he was very careful to say. What he said was truthful. He said, we had no specific information. I infer from that, I read from that, that there's always chatter, and it was always talk about trouble occurring. I do not believe that Netanyahu or anyone else had a clue as to the extent of this, as to what was contemplated in the past on the West Bank. There's been stone throwing and this sort of thing. There have been fights over trespasses on mosques. One of the problems is in Jerusalem. There's a site that is incredibly holy to Muslims and also incredibly holy to Jews. It's the same thing. Quite frankly, Jerusalem is very holy to Christians. But what's happened was, so what I think happened is Netanyahu did mass troops, but he massed them near the West Bank because the thought was that that in the past is where the terrible stuff had happened. These terrible things came out of Gaza and were not contemplated, and they responded as quickly as they could. And when you say, and then I'm going to go to the lines because I see you in the lines. When you say, Andrew, that somehow it's wrong to seal off Gaza and all that, substitute the word ISIS for Hamas. When there is an ISIS camp in Syria, for example, or Iraq, who murdered hundreds of thousands of Christians and they're in there, there's nobody in that camp who is not sympathetic to ISIS and to jihad. Nobody. There's nobody in Gaza who isn't sympathetic, theoretically, to Hamas and jihad. I'm sure there are many that wouldn't have done what these people did. How do you handle that? Israel has tried to offer peace for 30 years, 99% of what they wanted, and no nation up until the Abraham Accords would agree to recognize it. Go to the break. Oh, not at the break, the lines. David of Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's in your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Matt. Yeah, since World War II, international law has developed quite significantly. And I don't think the West definitely would. I don't think the West definitely would not have done the firebombing of Dresden or Japan nowadays. In any event, Israel, of course, is part of the West, and they haven't either. If they had, they could win. You know, Israel could win decisively in maybe an hour, just all from the air, by just dropping bombs. They could level Gaza. But they haven't done that, and they haven't done that for decades and decades and decades, and they've allowed it to fester. And so the result is, you know, constant Hamas attacks over a period of the last quarter century or more. And now, in fact, in order to make sure that non-combatant deaths are minimized, they're going to do a ground war. They're already massing on the borders of Gaza. And, you know, this is an urban warfare. They're going to sacrifice a lot in order to prevent the greater loss of civilians had they just done it from the air. You know, this is an urban environment where you have, you know, booby traps everywhere. There's, you know, bombs in the walls, on the ceiling, you know, on the floor. Right. And then you have a huge tunnel infrastructure where you go in and, you know, they're like ghosts. All of a sudden, Hamas fighters appear out of nowhere.
Right. David, stay on the line. Calvin, keep David on the line and pick him up so he can continue his comments after the break. This is important. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. I see you other callers. Do not hang up. I'll get you right after David.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. The death toll continues to skyrocket on both sides, with Israel at war with Hamas. The Israeli Defense Forces says it's launching an extensive attack on the Gaza Strip, and Gaza is now completely without power, cut off by Israel. 22 Americans are confirmed dead. 17 are still reported missing. President Biden, at a roundtable with Jewish community leaders at the White House Wednesday afternoon, denouncing the cruelty of the Hamas militant attack inside Israel.
I never really thought that I would see and have confirmed pictures of terrorists beheading children.
While the president seemed to suggest that the U.S. had independently confirmed the beheading of babies by Hamas, the White House says the president was referencing press reports and statements from Israeli officials. The U.N. calling for rapid humanitarian aid, adding 220,000 displaced Palestinians, are sheltering at relief and refugee facilities. This is ABC News.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25. Cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates radio show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes, Melissa. That was like 12 years ago. What do you think the hangup is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out of touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates radio show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy. It's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy. It's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
By Apple and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to resume our the comments from David of Madison. David, please continue with what you were saying.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. As I was saying, Israel, in order to abide by international law and to minimize civilian casualties, isn't going to do this operation this from the air. If they did it from the air, they could do it without a single Israeli casualty. And, they're going to go in and they're going to, in order to prevent the loss of life that would occur among civilians, you know, if they did exclusively an air war, they're going to go in on, you know, have, as they say, boots on the ground. They're going to have people go in. And it's an incredibly, incredibly dangerous environment. It's an urban environment. There's tunnels everywhere, which means that they're like, it's like, you know, being around ghosts that just pop up out of nowhere, you know, from these tunnels. You know, you think of an area secure and all of a sudden large amounts of the enemy just pop up out of nowhere and start killing you. And Israel is going to, you know, suffer a great a loss of life as a result. Also, I think, you know, you were saying that the Hamas is very widely supported. It's incredibly naive to say that Hamas doesn't have widespread support and significant, if not widespread support for what just happened. I mean, there were celebrations in Gaza after this attack. And in fact, there were you mentioned the West. There were celebrations after 9/11 there too. And,
right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, David. Yeah. And then I'll go to another caller. We have a couple of other calls going.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on.
Hamas was elected. They were elected in a free and fair election in 2005, and they'd probably be elected again. You know, I just heard, the Palestinian Authority just canceled elections because they knew they would lose, and lose to who? Lose to Hamas.
Yep. David, thank you for your call. Excellent call. And you're absolutely right. Right after 9/11, Rudy Giuliani at the time wasn't as toxic as he is right now. And he said that there were at least 45 celebrations of 9/11 in New York City. You know, if you assume there were 20 people at each, that's 900 people. And those are only the ones where someone complained to the police. And how many were there in L.A. and Boston and Chicago and everywhere else? We have fellow travelers in this country of jihad. It's very, very dangerous. OK, we're going to the next in line. Do not hang up. Kurt of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Kurt?
Yeah, at the beginning of the show, you had mentioned if they go to Hakeem Jeffries to craft a deal to get the votes. And then I had to leave the show because I had a call. would Jeffries be able to create a written document to make him sign? When you stated all the things you need to fund this, you listed them all out. Is that something they can do? Could Jeffries say, okay, here's a document, sign it, that you're not going to, you know, lie to us? Or is that something that just doesn't happen in the House?
that's a good common sense question from a good guy who, you know, the more you're involved in politics, the answer is a written document like that would not be binding and they won't do it. At some point, you have to look somebody in the eye and say, do you trust me? If Steve Scalise says, I will do a clean budget deal pursuant to the deal between Biden and McCarthy in April, May, that will fund us to the next presidential election. And it's not everything I want, but, you know, Biden agreed to it and McCarthy agreed to it. And you will have the funding for Israel and Ukraine. If Steve Scalise looks him in the eye and says, you have my word, you know, I mean, at some point at that level, you have to go with that. What I'm afraid, and we're going to get to that segment in a second, right after the next caller, but what I'm afraid is that they will gin up the votes without Democratic votes, and the price that Scalise will pay will be to say to Jim Jordan, Gymnasium Jim G.O.M. Jordan, no funding for Ukraine, and they're going to be shaky on Israel. Going onto the lines, Todd Billy, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Todd Billy?
Matt, you know, I don't know if there's any historical equivalent of what's going on in the Middle East right now. It's such a hard situation. But I have heard the Palestinian state described as an apartheid state, and I feel like that there's some accuracy to that. And I feel like, you know, the other apartheid state that we're all familiar with is South Africa, and I feel like it was an absolute miracle that Nelson Mandela existed and that that situation was resolved in the peaceful manner that it was. You know, I don't think that sort of a resolution is available, but man, I do feel like it's an apartheid state, and I can't be surprised when people living under apartheid are pushing back in some way. I mean, it's a horrible situation.
Yeah, Tutter Billy, you have to take into account more history. The apartheid, remember something, Israel has been under attack, genocidal attack by everybody for 2,000 years or more. For all of Europe, it was all Nazified. Britain hung out, and then we came in and saved the day. It is not only insulting, but historically absurd to say that Israel is an apartheid state. Israel has offered to the Palestinians for at least 30 years, maybe more, to give them their own state, to travel freely in Israel, to live in Israel. Israel is 9 million people. About 2 or 3 million of them aren't Jewish. They're Arabs. They like living in Israel. They like democracy. They like freedom. They like the West. They're not rising up. They're not rising up. The apartheid in South Africa was purely racial, purely racist. And this is nothing more than a PR attempt by trying to accuse Israel of being apartheid by people in the Muslim world, and then some gullible African-Americans in this country who just parrot that. Now, why did the Palestinians not agree to recognize Israel? All Israel requested was recognize us as human beings. Recognize us as human beings. We'll travel to each other's countries. There's some intermarriage, that kind of thing. The Abraham Accords and this sort of soft peace between Egypt and Israel has resulted in great things. The Israelis are setting up businesses in the United Arab Emirates. They travel to Egypt. Interesting, you know, the pyramids and all that. It's not Israel. It's not Israel. It's jihad. You must understand something. If you go back to the 7th century, the 600s, Islam was founded in about between 610 and 615. By 690, they'd occupied the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal. They went into France 732 to make that a Muslim state. They made a mistake. The general on the other side was Charlemagne's grandpa, Charles Martel, Charles the Hammer. Charles the Hammer beat that army and threw him out. They've gone into the Balkans, Greece. They try to get to Vienna. In the 1400s, the 15th century, they took Constantinople. They renamed it a name you'll recognize. It's now Istanbul. That was Constantinople. The mosque in Istanbul that's so famous, that was an Eastern Orthodox cathedral in the 1400s. They win. They force people to convert. They treat them with the utmost cruelty. I stand with Israel because I stand with Western democracy. There are plenty of Christians in Iraq and Lebanon and everywhere else who share our values. There are plenty of Muslims who share our values, but they're afraid to speak out because they'll be killed by jihadists. Israel is not the apartheid state. Their enemies want an apartheid state that excludes Israel. And I'll go to the lines right now, but I'll leave you with an anecdote. Joe Biden gave a touching statement, anecdote in his speech yesterday. He said he had just been elected senator from Delaware, and he had the privilege of meeting Golda Meir. Golda Meir, by the way, our library at UWM in Milwaukee is named after Golda Meir. It's the Golda Meir Library. Golda Meir went to North Division High School in Milwaukee. She was a teacher in MPS. I'm not kidding. In River West. Many of you don't know that. He met with her, and he was very flattered that she'd meet with him. He was just elected. And he said, how did you do it in the 73 war? the Yom Kippur War, where Syria and Egypt attacked Israel by surprise, sneak attack, and Israel won. Golda Meir said, "We have a secret weapon." Joe Biden said, "What is your secret weapon?" Golda Meir said, "Because we have nowhere else to go." You think about that. They're not the apartheid state. Europe was the apartheid state under the Hitler invasions. And jihad is making a pitch for an apartheid state that would kill all Jews. So let's take a look at history and don't start yesterday. And don't a lot of people think history started the day they were born. Nobody cares about the day you were born. Nobody cares about the day I was born. History starts a long time ago. We're going to the lines. Chad and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Chad?
Well, Matt, I feel concerned sometimes when you speak that you talk in absolutes about citizens. And all of history isn't today. Your transgressions of hundreds and hundreds of years ago, that's okay and all if you were living during that time and you wanted to be held accountable at that time about those people. I see a lot of chaos and destruction on both sides harming civilians. How would you defend the calculated attacks on just buildings and people just being leveled? Why do you have to pick equals on this? I think it was a calculated choice, just like Putin made a calculated choice to harm innocent people. And I think some aspects of what you want to define as things is what dictatorships do, is what governance always thinks they have to do. We've done it over the 25 years that I could have been in the service. And I watched generations of my friends and family in the past. I defend values and I don't defend governance making calculated choices to just carpet bomb places. And I think sometimes when you speak, you talk about people in absolutes. I've heard you talk about the Russian people as general citizens, as how they're just evil and they need to be wiped out and taken care of. I think I don't listen to this radio station listening to this radio station because it says that it stands for something where they don't do that, where they talk about the truth and let the listeners decide, not pundits talking absolutes about general societies and existence like that. It's just questionable. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Chad. And I hope you still continue to listen and to call in. First of all, I have never said that the Russian people are evil and should be wiped out. I've been to Russia. I have friends, frankly, in St. Petersburg and Moscow. And I think there are many fine Russians. I think they have Nazi leadership right now. And I'd like to see their leaders killed. That's what I've said. The second thing is this. David Madison made a good point. Israel could take care of this in a couple of hours. We could have taken care of Afghanistan a couple of hours if we want to commit genocide. We could have nuked Afghanistan. We don't do that. We're part of the West. Israel doesn't do that, and they're going to take a lot of casualties that they don't have to take. But I'll leave you with this. You think about somebody. If a six-month-old infant has its head cut off with a knife, screaming in pain in front of the mother, what do you do? Israel doesn't do that. Their enemies do that. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters.
The Allies have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear overnight with a low of 39. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 54. Cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 43. Upper 40s Friday and Saturday with scattered showers both days. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 46.
It's 52 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Metro Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to get back to the speaker race. This is a very, very dangerous predicament right now in our government. I think it's going to be resolved successfully, but I want to lay out to you what it is. After they had their caucus yesterday, they had a secret caucus, and that's not a pejorative. Democrats would do the same thing. You meet, you don't have the press there. The Republicans, one member came out and says that the vote for speaker tomorrow, and by that he meant today's vote, the internal vote in their caucus, will be a cluster F. And he used the whole word for F, the cluster F. Another one came out and said, we have eight members who are insane. We have eight members who are insane. These came from two Republicans. Well, today, they vote to back Scalise 113 to 99. The problem is, they need 217 votes. So the protocol normally is, two people run against each other, one wins, and then everybody gets behind him. Even Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, because he thinks he knows how he's going to survive in all this, said he'll give a nomination speech for Scalise if they vote tomorrow. Well, now they were going to vote today, and now apparently they've called it off. Why? Because at least six and probably eight won't vote for Scalise because he's the deputy in McCarthy, and they didn't vote for McCarthy. That means Scalise at most will get 213 votes and may only get 209 like before. Now, what do we do? 4 ex-Ohio State University wrestlers, four of them, came out publicly yesterday and said, quote, Jim Jordan shouldn't be speaker. He didn't stick up for his guys, end quote. He knew that the team doctor was sexually assaulting young wrestlers. This doctor apparently would walk in on a guy who was getting dressed for a match and pull his pants down. And the guy would say, Doc, that ain't right. Jim Jordan knew that, and he covered it up. They said, do you really want a guy in that job who does not stand up for his guys? Is this the kind of character trait you want in a House Speaker? The Republicans know what the campaign ads will be if Jordan's speaker, and he ain't going to get it. Scalise was shot, so he thinks he's a hero, but Scalise also said, I am David Duke without the baggage. So what do we do? And I'm going to go to the lines right now, but here's what we do. If Scalise gets eight votes, or strike that, eight people vote against him, and he can't get over the top, he's got to go to Hakeem Jeffries. He's got to go to Representative Clark, the number two from Massachusetts, and Jim Clyburn, number three from South Carolina, and there's not going to be a written document. They've got to say, look, you stick by the Biden-McCarthy deal, clean budget for the next year. So after, way after, actually 15 months till after the presidency is decided. And we want aid for Israel and Ukraine. And if he says, well, some of my guys won't stand for aid to Ukraine, you say, how many more people do you need? Well, another 15 won't do that. Okay, we'll give you 23 votes. This has got to be done for the people of the United States. We're going to the line. I'll take you in order. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Real quick here, I think Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. I could be wrong in that. But as far as what's going on in Congress, if McCarthy, after he cut that deal, wouldn't have went around and trashed the Democrats, I think he still would be Speaker. At this point in time, I don't know if you're going to be able to fix this, and I hope I'm wrong, but if you can't fix this, we're in big trouble. So thanks, Matt.
Yeah, you're dead right, and the fact of the matter is this. The fact of the matter is, if they can't elect a Speaker, if the Republicans can't elect a Speaker, and they expect us, and I say us, the Democrats, to vote for one of them to stick them over the top to cut off aid to Ukraine. You know, some of them, and there's some senators, they're using this, they put their pinky in the air, you know, this unanimous consent. J.D. Vance and Hawley won't permit any aid for Ukraine, any aid for Ukraine. We still, this is the Senate now. We still do not have 300 plus admirals and generals promoted, demoralizing our service while we're being threatened around the world. And there's a hot war in Israel right now and in Ukraine. Ukraine is a European country, by the way, and in Ukraine. We don't have ambassadors to Israel and to Egypt. They flank Gaza. We don't have an ambassador for counterterrorism, an ambassador to Oman. Right now, ambassadors, promotions, generals, the Senate's letting one guy, in this case, two guys, when you have J.D. Vance and Hawley ganging up, but some, you know, Jim Jordan, Rand Paul won't permit a vote on ambassadors, and Tuberville won't permit a vote on our own military. These are chicken hawks. These are chicken hawks. They're human in name only. A fellow named Hayden, he's a former defense secretary with George W. Bush, and I don't go along with this, but he said that Tuberville should be removed from the human race, which is a call for his execution. I mean, so Republicans, if you believe that, you can easily, by supporting the promotions, supporting the ambassadors, supporting aid to Ukraine and Israel, override the couple of pinky waivers, because that overrides unanimous consent. But you're chicken hawks yourselves. And moderate Republicans and Democrats, you're buttercups. You can easily do that by changing the rules. It only takes majority vote. Doesn't matter what the parliamentarian says. You won't do that either. And in the House, Hakeem Jeffries and Clark and Clyburn and the rest of them have got to go brass knuckles and say, we want a clean budget for 15 months, and we want the deal, McCarthy and Biden's deal, and we want funding for aid for Israel and Ukraine. And then you start casting a net, looking for some fish elsewhere in the Republican Sea. There are 18 congressmen in districts that Biden carried. How hard is this? Are we too aggressive? Do I speak without enough nuance? I hope so. I hope so. We're coming to the end of the show. Great, great callers as always. Stand by for another great show. Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute. Matt Flynn, director, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser Sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers, perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and Sheets make cleaning look easy.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.